Hello, hello, and welcome to Golden Threads, weaving ancient wisdom into modern bliss. I'm your host, Helena Grant, and what a delight today to welcome Tarya Ward. Tarya is a PhD who lives in Asheville, North Carolina, where she has a private practice offering dream analysis, depth, psychological, and spiritual guidance to individuals in person, by telephone, Zoom, or Skype. She has worked intensively with her own and other people's dreams for more than 40 years, and for nearly 20 years has been an avid student of indigenous ways of knowing and being. Tarya conducts a monthly global community dream symposium wherein people from all over the world share the messages coming in their dreams. Tarya also conducts retreats and vision quests, teaches online courses, and offers oracular readings upon request. You can find her at tariaward.com. The topic of our interview today is recognizing the world behind the world. Hello, Tarya. Welcome, welcome. Thank you for being here for Golden Threads.
Oh, thank you for inviting me, Helena. I'm just really pleased to be with you and your audience. So, yeah, thanks.
Well, it's my tremendous honor to welcome you. I always like to let everyone know that you have been such an incredibly influential presence and guide in my life, and really coming to a beautiful conversation with my own dream life. So I'm so excited about this conversation today.
That's great. What a privilege it is to work with you.
So you speak about the world behind the world in the title of this topic today. So please tell us, what do you mean by that?
Okay. This is, you know, there are so many approaches to this idea, and I'm going to mention a few of them. And it's, for some reason, just been really coming up for me lately. So I just feel like there's a reason now to be really paying attention to this concept or this idea. And I'll be talking about a little bit more about why I think that's happening right now. But just to give you a little background of my thought about the world behind the world. I mean, I think we all certainly sense and know that there's a world behind this world that we see with our five senses, that we, you know, live and move around in, that there's a world that exists that we don't see, that is just as real and you know, more so. So, but way back in the early 90s, when I was doing a lot of writing and a lot of teaching at the time, I kept hearing this concept or relating to this concept of the ground of being. And those are words that came to me, you know, I have no idea where. I think various philosophers and spiritual teachers and mystics talk about the ground of being, and that being this place from whence we all emerge, that and that there, and I just kept sensing and feeling that if you can touch the ground, and certainly touching the ground of the earth is one way of, you know, beginning that sort of metaphoric process, but I'm talking about the deep ground of being, that ground from whence all things emerged, you know, the what was that ground before the Big Bang happened and we were all stars and galaxies and swirling, you know, through space in this way. There's something still there. And so that's still there. It's still in us. What happens when we touch that, when we're aware of that, when we sort of move from the place of knowing about that? And I'll be talking a little bit more about the work of David Bohm, who is a physicist, a little later. But I used to teach his ideas, and when I did, I used this metaphor that I, you know, I think a lot of people are familiar with it, the metaphor of the aspen grove. Have you heard of that one?
I have not, but I know how magical aspens are as trees, so I'm excited to hear more.
Oh, good. Well, it is said, and I think it's still true, that the largest living organism on this entire planet is an aspen grove, and that it's all one thing. It can be hundreds of miles of aspens, and it's all one organism, even though it looks like a forest of separate trees miles apart. It's, they're all, the sort of magic and miracle of the aspen grove is that it's one root system under the ground, and all these trees that break through the surface of the earth and rise up are actually just branches of one massive connected organism. And so that is an interesting way to think of who we are as humans, but as elements of this earth, that every single thing on the earth comes from this one root system, this one from this ground that is all one of us. So up comes a rock, up comes a human, up comes a wolf, up comes a bird, and we think of them all as separate, but actually we're all one thing. And so that just thinking about just sort of meditating on the aspen grove is an interesting way to sort of sense the reality that we all come from the same ground.
So is this sort of the concept of like the world soul?
Yes, I imagine those words would refer to that. Absolutely. Philosophers and mystics get into all kinds of definitions. What's the difference between?
They all have their own metaphors.
Spirit. all these words have certain meanings to certain people, but I would say it's the sort of energetic ground. And I have so much to say about this, and I'll sort of unfold it a little more as we go. But it's the energetic ground that we all are part of. The separateness is an illusion. It's an absolute illusion that we live in. And to begin to understand that and viscerally know that is a journey of consciousness. I think it's sort of I love that you're talking about the ancient wisdom, because the ancients, I think, all knew this, and indigenous people knew this. We're all part of the same fabric of life. The separateness idea is, and this individual idea is complete illusion. Mm-hmm. So, and it's, this is a good thing to think of when you're in the room with friends or family or whatever, just, meditate on that for a minute, that you're all rising out of the same root system. And even though we seem so different in our perceptions of the world and the ways that we navigate the world, or, the way we behave in the world, whatever it is, we all seem so separate. But if we kind of meditate on how we're all connected, it's a consciousness sort of shift, which is, I think, important for all of us to continue to just sort of turn the little ship of consciousness toward this awareness. Yeah,
definitely. And I'm seeing too, you think of those amazing photographs, and I've even been in aspen groves in the fall, and especially with it being autumn here in this hemisphere, the aspen trees, their leaves turn to this incredible golden color. Uh-huh. And when the light filters through them, it's really just so, so miraculous. And it's, I think, one of those moments where you're like, oh, they're, you really can experience that bigger plan and the true beauty that is available to us in nature. So I really love the concept of this metaphor being something that we can sort of grasp onto in our meditative visions as well. So thank you for that.
Yes, I used to have a big photograph of an aspen grove in the home that I used to live in. I don't have the space on the wall here for it now, but they're just so beautiful. And the way that leaves shimmer like this when the wind goes, it's just so mystical, magical. I love aspen trees. Yes. So I wanted to share with you a recent experience I had, and this is why I was so glad when you invited me to talk today, as part of your project here, because I thought, this is something I really want to talk about. I want to devote my thinking about it because of this incident that came up. This would have been on the 16th of last month, I think.
So the 16th of September.
Think so.
Yeah.
If not, August 16th. When did you invite me? I can't remember. Anyway.
It was last month. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So this was just a month ago.
The 16th right. was my daughter's birthday, actually.
Aw. So it was a special day. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you a little bit more, and it relates to my daughter too, but I had an early morning doctor's appointment that morning. So it was a strange morning of being on the freeway almost when it was still dark out. And I was driving down the freeway and it was almost like this mystical light came over me. And I was thinking of my daughter. Now, my daughter's been through a year, which you know, Helena, she's been through a year of cancer treatment and chemotherapy. And she's just out of the woods now, thank goodness. She's just, so I was thinking, my heart was just so open thinking about her. And for some reason that washed into my mind, I wish I could tell my daughter, Josie, that she is so much more than any idea she could ever have of herself. Mm-hmm. Any self-concept, any idea of what it means to be a self, that she is so big. And it's almost like I was feeling that spirit of her that is so vast and that has almost very little to do with who we think of her as, who the person that we envision when we see her face or, are with her, that there's this vastness to her. And I don't know why, it was just thinking of Josie that brought all that on to me. So I went and had my doctor's appointment, and then I came home, still early morning, and I'm going to explain just a little background of this. I early in this year, I read this book, The Way of the Rose, and it's called The Radical Path of the Divine Feminine Hidden in the Rosary, and it's these people, Clark Strand and Perdita Rose, and I have my whole life been very interested in Marian apparitions. I've studied them. I've made pilgrimage. For some reason, I'm so fascinated by when Mary shows up. And so these people, Clark has had these apparitions happening for the last few years. And so on the 16th of every month, they have a message. And she shows up and gives a message, and you can read the message on their website. And so I came home and I was interested because it was the 16th. And I had just had this sort of massive experience thinking about Josie. For whatever reason, it felt like a spiritual experience. And then this is what the message was that she spoke. Yes, it was September 16th. There is a world behind the world that you see. Although it lies revealed and open right before you, the world you see is like a reflection on the inside of a bubble that shows you nothing but yourself. It reveals to you what you think, what you value, what you believe to be true. But just beyond that world is my world. This is the lady, the mother of us all, speaking. The world that sustained you, the world that birthed you, the world that you return to, and the world that you can never leave. That world is the real world. The image you see reflected in the bubble is the world that you have made. It takes a single pin to pop that bubble for anyone. It vanishes at death and you are liberated from it for a time. But your people have been born into it again and again, and the time is coming when it will be popped for the living while we are alive. At that time, some will say, I cannot breathe in this world. I have no place in it. Others will say, this is the end. And others will say, all that we all that we had is lost and gone forever. What shall we do? How shall we live? But there will be those who on the advent of that world say in the depths of their hearts, this is what I always knew to be true. This world is my mother. There is no other. At last I have found my home. So heaven only knows at what level she's speaking, you know, how metaphoric, how mystic or literal she may be speaking, but it's like that world behind the world, the bubble that we live in that we think is the real world, there's something in our consciousness that's about to pop that bubble. And then we will be aware of this world behind the world.
And it might be quite difficult, actually. And as you were reading the message, I felt this like opening in my upper chest that felt very expanding, but also had some pain associated with it. And then down further at the base of it was grief, because you have to let go of this illusion that we cling to. Just beyond that illusion is this miraculous world just birthing us and waiting for us to return to. And it doesn't have to happen at death. It can happen while we're alive.
Yes. And don't you just feel like that's the point, you know, is for us to be able to do this work alive and not have to go into the other world to recognize what the other world is, but to live it in a new way. I feel like that's the new earth. That's the new consciousness. It's being birthed through these changing times, is to be able to live this while awake. It's like I work with dreams a lot, and it's like, how do you live in the dream while you're awake? Like the Aborigines do. They know the dream time while they're awake. They think that we're crazy because we have to go to sleep. And in a similar way, maybe we're a little crazy because we have to die in order to get, you know, what the other world is about, and that it's about that to come, that we will have access to this immense consciousness that is all of ours to experience. So one of the beautiful things, Helena, I'll just tell you this little detail, is I had asked the lady, I'm not Catholic. So when I talk about all this, this is not Catholic stuff. This is just the lady who is the mother of us all. But I had asked her, I'd been struggling, and I kind of asked her for a sign that she was near, that she had her eye on me, or, you know, whatever. Sometimes we do this. And this was it, you know, it was like, I had this experience about Josie. And then right after that, read that this was her message for that month. And I thought she was already telling me before I read the message, what the message was, you know, it's like, it was, so that was her way, I felt like, of just saying, yeah, I'm here. Don't, you know, don't stress about this. You know, it's like, you can forget, but that doesn't make me not here. Mm. You know, so anyway, I think that's a message for all of us. We can forget that, you know, that this great divine fabric of consciousness and life is right there for us. It's teeming with life for us, and we forget about it, but that doesn't make it any less there. And all we have to do is remember a little bit, like what you're doing in this, weaving together all this and your intentions for this event.
Yeah, we can forget that it's there, but that doesn't make it disappear. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It's
right.
Really just waiting for us to return. And it almost felt like you were asking for the sign that you were being supported and that you were being guided, and you almost got that like retroactively. I mean, you probably sensed that you were having that mystical experience on the way to the doctor, but then you had the real, more concrete assurance that that's what happened when you read this message. And that message is so, so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, I'm so glad to be able to share it. Right. So that, you ready for me to move to a little new
way? Yes, please. Please keep going.
All right. Ask me any questions as we go. I wish I could open it up to your listeners too. So all of this brought me to, I have come back to this work that I would mention, David Bohm, the physicist. He's known as the father of quantum physics. And I used to teach a course way back in the early 90s. So this is almost 30 years ago. I used to teach a course about some of his theories of quantum physics and the sort of the quantum theory of really the ground of being. And he wrote this book called Wholeness and the Implicate Order. And this is really groundbreaking because as a physicist, he was one of the original early thinkers of the quantum level of reality, where what he called the implicate order, where there is this, you know, I wish I had all of his words were like in the forefront of my frontal lobes right now, but I don't. But similar to what I've been saying, he proves in physics that there's this level of reality, which he calls the implicate order, out of which everything arises. And he calls the order of, you know, all of the things that we see and that we study in physics and so forth, the explicate order. And he says, but the explicate order is not a deep, profound order. It's very surface. And that underneath the level of all that's that we have in the explicate order is the implicate order. And out of that, it's like the root system of the aspen grove. It's like that place out of that teeming life that we all emerge from. And he says the explicate order is objects, you know, sort of like the individual trees in the aspen grove. But the implicate order is just moving potential. It's just all this potential. And if anybody's interested in David Bohm's thought, I would highly recommend a new movie that's just been released called Infinite Potential. And I think the subtitle is The Life and Ideas of David Bohm. That's spelled B-O-H-M. It's just been released in the last few months. I was just on a panel discussing it. It's just an exquisite film that describes this idea of the implicate order, and it's really well done. And his journey as a scientist is quite amazing, how he got to it. So Bohm, now this gets a little esoteric, but follow me. But he very similar to all these things that we're talking about, Bohm talked about the nature of thought, and that thought is actually like a substance, almost you would call in the explicate order, and that thought itself is the problem, because we think thought is real, and we think that we think our own thoughts, but he says we don't. Thought thinks us. Thought is like oxygen that we breathe in. It's like everything in our world here, thought created in a certain way. And he says that how does this go? The thinker thinks the thought, and the thinker thinks that the thinker is thinking the thoughts. Got that?
But the thought is thinking the thinker.
But the thought is thinking the thinker. There you go. And the thinker is an illusion created by thought. Isn't that interesting? I mean, you kind of have to be with this for a while, but so he's really
ego. That's ego annihilating right there.
it absolutely is. And I think that's the point of a lot of this too, is to just understand what the nature of the ego is, what the nature of the self is, that it's all an illusion. He basically says, here's a really good quote I pulled out of his from, I think I pulled this out of the movie. The present ego identity, it's great that you just went right to that. The present ego identity is based on a wrong mode of thought in which a person identifies with his thoughts and his body and with things, which means he is creating an illusion of the self which people think they have, this self that we think that we have. It is only a show. It is not really there. But it is such a convincing show that everybody acts as if it were there, and that gives it an apparent reality. So thought itself is the problem, but underneath all of that, if we, you know, this is why I've been reviving my meditation practice, to just like get beyond thought, underneath thought, still the thoughts, stop thinking, you know, which is really hard to do, but it's a really good journey to sort of get to that deeper reality where thought, underneath thought, that's the implicate order. And that's where all the potential is. He says the implicate order is not things, it's not objects, it's a process, and it's infinite potential. And that's where we reach our real potential, and that's where we understand who we are, why we're here, what we're capable of when we get to that implicate order. And we get beyond the illusion of this limited idea of the self and all of our, you know, problems and complexes, which certainly, you know, deserve attention in their way at their level, but they need to be understood for the illusion that they are, and how the illusion can dominate us. I was thinking recently, I used to read Lao Tzu, and this is what he called the Tao, basically. It's the same thing. These concepts have been around, as you've been saying, you know, in the ancients forever. So, you know, physicists come back to it, you know, a Marian apparition brings us back to it. It's like, it's all there. And I think all of us at some level intuit the truth of this. It seems kind of antithetical to the way we conduct our lives. But basically, I think most people intuit the reality of this.
Well, even the virus has brought us back to that. It's like we are all human. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter what the color of your skin is. You know, we are all affected by this. And to me, it's an indication of that deep interconnectedness that we've strayed so far from. Mm-hmm. And it's really trying to call us back. It's trying.
Absolutely. I remember right after the whole thing started setting in, this virus idea, I was taking a walk and I just felt like I could hear the virus itself just saying, stop, 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 stop. Just stop everything. Stop it. Whatever you're doing, you know, whatever all these things that we think are so important, just stop. And I felt like it was sort of the wisdom of the virus itself that was just trying to slow us all down. I mean, it's been a horrific experience. I don't want to undermine the suffering, you know, or underestimate the suffering involved. Certainly we all have it, but at some level it's a deep wisdom to just sort of stop everything and think, rethink and unthink. And that was the word Buckminster Fuller used to use, unthinking.
I love that. And also, you know, with that slowing down, I think so many people were able to start dreaming more than they had before. And that maybe had its own, you know, elements of being overwhelming, but opened up a lot of people to more of an interest in this world beyond the worlds.
Yes, absolutely. You know, me being the dream worker, people would run into these articles and send them to me. So it seemed like every day or two, somebody was sending me another article. I mean, it was on Time Magazine, Newsweek Magazine, National Geographic Magazine, Scientific American, you know, all sort of major, very respected publications were writing articles about people having all these dreams during the COVID time. And so to me, that's that dream dimension, which I think is a way that we really are in the explicate or implicate order, you know, the way that we go into that teeming place of just potential that isn't made of stuff and things, that dream time is that place. And so that it's like that dimension of our being is now presenting itself to people, and people are having various experiences, some exhilarating and some terrifying, but they're recognizing that there's a whole other dimension that kind of is emerging now that we need to consider.
Yeah. So actually last night I had a dream where I received a message in the liminal space as I was coming back from the dream. And it said, we all have a garden and it can be so beautiful with just a little bit of effort. And I think that speaks to, you know, a garden can be made of so many things. Of course, garden is very metaphorical and symbolic in this circumstance. But it's that sense of like each aspen is a garden into itself, and the grove itself is a garden as well. Uh-huh. So we all have that like individual aspect, but of course, as well, that interconnectedness. And we're all communicating with each other without actually doing it consciously, and accessing that communication, you know, when we're unthinking and finding the space beyond the thought and not believing the thought of, oh, this is me, I'm the only one, I'm separate from everyone else. That dissolves when you can really tune into that broader consciousness, that golden consciousness, that aspen grove, implicate order consciousness.
Yeah, what a beautiful dream. You know, that is just I love that dream, Helena. You're such a good dreamer. I mean, we all are. Dreams are just amazing, really.
We all are. I mean, we're all dreaming. Everyone's right. You're alive, you're breathing, you're dreaming. You're right. Dreaming at night, but you might not be able to remember it. Some people can't remember what they did yesterday. It's the same thing. You're maybe just not remembering your dream. Right. But yes, it's going on for all of us. It's just waking up to being awake while you're dreaming.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Giving it our just intention to remember and connect to what the dreams are doing and what they're about. Yeah. Yeah.
So we've covered a lot of ground here with the Aspen Grove, the implicate order, the, what was it? The explicative order.
Explicate order.
And this Infinite Potential movie, I think that's on my list now. And all these books that you've shown, oh my goodness, my Amazon card's going to explode.
Yeah, there you go. Well, see that film. It's just about an hour and 10 minutes and it's just beautiful. And you can find it online. I think it's on YouTube, Infinite Potential.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Teria, what else do you have to share with us about all of the, you know, the importance of this work and why it's necessary to really connect to this ground?
Well, I feel like as we've been talking about the COVID situation and basically, sometimes I think that, you know, we're all globally so involved in this COVID situation for a reason, but sometimes I think the COVID situation itself is a mask over what we really need to be thinking about, which is climate change and, you know, how to really live in integrity with the planet and the earth. So I feel like we're all like being called to understand that we're all one thing now, in a way the earth is calling to us to understand that everything we do, just like your dream last night, the little bit that we do in our garden can, you know, make such a massive sort of difference and impact. So everything we do to just sort of understand that we are one organism on this planet and aligned with all the species of the planet, that we're, you know, that anything that we do to hurt a species or to hurt another people is hurting the whole of everything. It's hurting ourselves in our most deep, tender places. It's hurting our children, our grandchildren. It's hurting. So I feel like this is the time for us that we're really being called to understand the oneness, the undivided wholeness of who we are, so that we can live in integrity with one another. I feel like this consciousness, it just calls us to put down the us and them, the you, the me, the sort of the weapons of war. Why would you, you know, why are you going to kill somebody else's kid? You know, you want them killing your kid. I mean, what? Well, I feel like it's an opportunity now to just put all that down and recognize we're all in this together. And figure out how to respect one another, even our most differing opposite points of view on things, but to recognize the undivided wholeness of this so that we can enter the sort of the new earth, which I think this is going to be the feature of it, you know, that this old way of doing things and of fragmentation and separation, that's all such an illusion. It's time for it to end. So I feel like these are ways that we can get back to the truth of who we are and what reality actually is and get behind this illusion of separateness and fragmentation. And there are ways to do this, to disidentify with the ego, you know, just to recognize the ego has its function. It's like a hammer, you know, a hammer is a good function, but you just can put it down when you're not needing it. And the same with the ego, you can just leave it be. The illusion is just there for, you know, for very limited purpose. And I think go into the quiet of just sort of what it takes to connect to that place beneath all thought. And I think the earth is there. She's not stressing right now. She's stressed because of climate change, but she can teach us how to just be here, And
I'm seeing the image of like a mother that's just sort of waiting for the child to finish the tantrum.
Exactly. That's so good. Yeah. And she's got all this love in her heart and she's understanding and she's compassionate about the frustration the child is experiencing. So, you know, it's like for us not to blame ourselves, have compassion for ourselves. We've been in a tantrum for thousands of years now. It's time to just like stop the tantrum and just be still and breathe and be quiet and find, you know, I think that basically, you know, all mystics will tell us, and our own experience will tell us that that ground is love, you know, that it's an unconditional love. And if we can get to that place, what else is there to care about or to worry about? So I think this is a healing opportunity that we're in right now. And these are just some thoughts to consider for how to hold our hearts together and figure out how to live our lives with integrity each day and love the opportunity to be a part of this great experiment that Earth is, and hopefully contribute to, you know, its sort of evolution and healing.
So. Yeah, the great experiment of being here on Earth and being human. And I think too, so key what you say about disidentifying with the ego and questioning the thoughts. You know, thoughts come up all the time and they feed on each other, and it's very easy to go to a negative place and then continue with the negativity. And then also to think I'm the only one who's having these problems. I'm the only one who's having these thoughts, getting into that place of separateness, of isolation. And you know, it's that surrendering to the questioning is mm-hmm. so hard for us to do. That's the ego. That's the hammer being like, no, you know, this is safe here. We're going to stay here. But then I'm also hearing too about the concept of dreaming, that the dream is for you, but it's also being fueled by everyone else, by all of this interconnection. So, this concept of you're never alone.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's aloneness is such an illusion. Mm-hmm. We're all, you know, just part of this huge family of life.
The Aspen Grove.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Oh, Teria, such beautiful, beautiful insights. Thank you. And I'd love to touch on something we mentioned in your bio about the Dream Symposium, and that is part of your free gift to this audience. I'd love for you to speak about that.
Okay, so if you go to my website, teriaward.com, and there's a page for Dream Symposium. You can register there. And if you register for the Dream Symposium, you will get the information about when they happen. They happen once a month. They're for 2 hours at 1 o'clock on a Friday every month. And we have people from all over the globe that come together and tell their dreams. And we work with the dreams by way of just recognizing that everybody's dream has something for all of us. So we don't do private work on the dream. We do the collective. So we get the collective sort of message. It's like all these dreams arise up out of this implicate order, out of the ground of being, out of the dream time, and have some wisdom, some guidance, some information, some insight, some inspiration for each of us. And this is the way Indigenous people live. They listen to the dreams of the community every day, and that's how they know how to live their lives in integrity with all that is. So this is what we're doing. Jocelyn Mercado is my good friend and colleague in this, and the two of us have been conducting this for over 3 years now. And so you're most welcome to come. It's free. So if you sign up and register, you'll get the dates and the links and the recordings. If you can't be there in person, we have people all over the world, and some of them, they happen in the middle of the night, but they listen to them, you know, they stay up with us, and then we have ways to connect with each other in between times. So everyone is welcome. It's a free gift.
Thank you. And they are such a beautiful gift, those dream symposiums on a monthly basis. So thank you so much for providing that and for being here today for Golden Threads. And thank you so, so much for the incredible work that you do in this world and the ones beyond.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me into your beautiful garden.
Thank you.
Nice to hang out with you in your garden.
Happy to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you. It's delightful.